This is the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. Carolyn Jessop is leading us in thinking about a long-neglected, very important idea, which really has to do with misogyny, with the hatred of women. It isn't just polygamy. It is a universal look at what is the role of all people in a, I would say, civilized, but maybe that's not even right. Polygamy itself presents real dilemmas, and then when you add to that an abusive system, you're going to have crime. It's just sort of, it's almost inevitable, isn't it? Unless you have an outside force that says you cannot do that, we don't allow that kind of abuse.
That's the issue right there. Without interference, the crime will never stop. It's not going to go away on its own. It hasn't for six generations.
Your own six generations.
Yeah, my children are the seven generations.
Well, and this isn't one tiny little pocket in Utah, as you tell it, either.
No, this is spread throughout. The other element about polygamy is it's spreading throughout the Western United States. Women within the society are taught to have a lot of children. We were not allowed to use birth control. I had eight children, and that was considered petering out and not doing what I should have done at 33. But, you know, I had eight children. I should have had many more. Many women in this society have 16. And there were women in the community who had as many as 21. Warren teaches that a woman is a vessel to be used up in childbirth. So a woman's position, her value in this system is to have children and to have as many as she can.
You know, 5,000 years ago, when there were not very many people on the planet, you could sort of make the argument that you needed to have a lot of children.
Still hard on the women, though.
Oh, yeah. But 5,000 years ago is not now.
Well, for me, for example, when you speak of it being hard on women, any pregnancy after four is considered high risk. And for me, I started having high-risk pregnancies after four. I was not physically able to have more than four safely. And so that's a very real reality. There is a physical element here that you can't ignore. But to the point of having a lot of children, that's why the problem's growing. It's why it's spreading. A mathematician ran the numbers at the rate of population within the society that I came from and said there will be 3 million people there in 70 years. This problem's not going away. It's getting bigger. Every generation is getting more severe. The crimes are getting worse because when you have perpetrators with unlimited power, the crimes can get significantly bad and they can go there quickly. That's what we have here. And without society stepping in and taking that power away and having some consequences, the crimes will continue to get worse. And the society is growing rapidly, and it's spreading all throughout the Western United States. One of the things that these polygamous communities are learning is they can take advantage of states quickly because they move in. The states do not understand what's moved in on them, and they take advantage of that.
Well, it is also important to say this isn't just one little cult. The Mormon Church itself has to be held responsible for some of the enormity of what this problem has grown to be. When you look at the attitudes that the Mormon Church has expressed in things like Proposition 8 in California, I had an aunt who came late to be a member of the Church of the Latter-day Saints, and she was one of the odd ducks in the family. But once she was converted, no reason need apply. And that might be true of any religion. It certainly was true of the Mormon Church itself, of which the FDLS is prodigy, if you will.
I don't want to stop you.
Yeah?
That is not characteristic of religion. If you believe what James Carr is, we're going to have a brief discussion.
Thank you.
This.
You're exactly right.
This
you're
is
exactly
what he characterized.
It's an important import.
James Carr wrote a book called The Religious Case Against Belief. And his argument is that these are not religions, that they are belief systems. That they are closed systems that do not permit for what he views as the utility, the benefit, the joy, the beauty of religions, which is the openness to a bigger world, a world that is growing, expanding,
a
developing,
sense of wonder.
Evolving, changing, and the wonder that is appropriate to that, that goes well beyond our modest rational faculties.
I am delighted to correct distracted. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Anyway, you were saying...
The belief system that the Mormons created and have espoused, and again, you talk about growing. This is a belief system that has spread rapidly across the world, and for all that in the United States, they had to make a deal to be able to come into the Union. Polygamy still is conceptually, and the kind of we've been in the heart of the Mormon Church, and there is a, it's a very radically different worldview. Let me just stop at that. Don't we have to call a rose a rose here?
Well, yes, and that's one of the problems is that these polygamous communities have gotten really strong, deep roots. Right around, you know, right inside of a very strong Mormon community, mm-hmm. and in many ways, it's their crazy relative. They're hiding in the attic. It's an embarrassment.
You mean the polygamists?
Right. The polygamists are an incredible embarrassment to the Mormon Church, because it's like for me to come out and go public. Well, I'm saying three of those generations were in the Mormon Church. And in many ways, they want to deny the fact that polygamy ever was a part of that religion. The other element is you have people who are staunch, strict members of the Mormon Church, and they have it in their heritage. Their great-grandfather had four wives. And so they feel a sense of obligation towards it. They feel a sense of reverence. They feel a sense of that once was our religion. One day we may live it again. So there's those elements there that prevents the Mormon Church from really wanting to take an active stand in this.
But they do want to tell me how to live.
That's true. They do want to regulate morality, especially in some areas. But when it comes to polygamy, they want to leave that alone and pretend that does not exist.
Well, in a sense, I mean, I'm listening to you, and I should probably ask this of somebody else, but since you're the best available, it seems that the Mormons seem to feel that they were coerced into getting rid of polygamy in order to become part of the United States, that it was a bargain they essentially made with the devil because the statehood was probably for economic reasons very important to them. But doing that under coercion, I think, leaves probably a lot of people, at least in the mythology and in the community that feeds on that mythology, feeling like that they were coerced and that it still violates their fundamental beliefs.
Well, their first three prophets, in fact, their first four, all were polygamous.
Right.
The first three lived at the fourth.
Aggressive.
Yeah. The fourth prophet actually had married women who had died, so he had one living wife. So he didn't actually live it, other than in name only.
You know, you think about the modern condition where you have people with serial monogamy who will be married three or four times, and we don't seem to object to that. What you're talking about is radically different from that.
Absolutely, because you have four, five, seven, 10 wives, and in the FLDS, we all lived in the same house. In Merrill's family, there were seven wives. He fathered 54 children. We had around 30 children living at home. And we lived in a 17,000 square foot house on top of each other. It was basically organized chaos.
Disorganized chaos.
Yeah.
I think organized might overstate it.
Well, there was nobody in charge. I mean, this was...
Well, there was.
There was no adult supervision.
There was some adult supervision, but we had the hierarchy among the wives, and we had everybody tattling on each other.
You know,
it was incredibly dysfunctional.
There are other societies that have harems, that have a number of wives, and that they probably have pecking orders as well. Are you making a sweeping statement that all polygamy is inherently bad?
From what I see, it's a crime against women. From my experience with polygamy, I am not in favor of it. It is unnatural to every basic human emotion.
Like what?
Love.
Love. Yeah, love is a big one. I was taught as a child that love was not necessary in a relationship. The relationship was for the purpose of producing children for God. It wasn't, and love was a Gentile thing.
Gentile, that is anybody who is not FLDS?
People who are not of God. So to be God-like, you did not need to have love in a relationship.
Yet that extended to your children as well in odd kinds of ways, didn't it?
Absolutely extends to the children, because the children are owned by the Father. They're owned by the Prophet. And if you love the Prophet and you love God, you will surrender your will for a greater will, which is the will of God, meaning you would step back, knowingly allow your child to be abused, because it's the will of God. And if you love your child, it's in their best interest for God to have his will in their life. So those are the belief systems, and it's unnatural. The other element that I'd like to say here is I haven't really seen where polygamy is that great for men. I have not, in growing up in a community where that was just the standard normal way to live, I did not see a happy polygamous family. I did not see a situation where a man had a relationship with more than one woman at a time. I don't think it's possible. I think men are very human too. When they fall in love with a woman, that's who they want to be with, and she is their confidant, and they may be able to father children with more than one woman. But I've never seen a situation where a man loved more than one woman at a time.
Carolyn Jessup, we'll be right back.